The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We do have now some of the sound, as I told you, we're not carrying his remarks live because, frankly, he says a lot of things that are not true and sometimes potentially dangerous.
We are prepared for his pre-fundraiser remarks tonight to again be essentially a Trump campaign speech. Because of that, we do not intend to carry these remarks live. As we have said before in these circumstances, there is a cost to us as a news organization to knowingly broadcast untrue things. We are here to bring you the news. It hurts our ability to do that if we live broadcast what we fully expect in advance to be a litany of lies and false accusations, no matter who says them. And I do not say this with any glee.
A short time ago, he landed at Newark Airport, heading for his New Jersey golf club, where he's expected to make his first formal remarks sometime within the hour. We are not going to take his speech live, but we will, of course, monitor them as they come in and bring you anything that is actually newsworthy.
And despite whatever may be going on in that restaurant, this case isn't going to be settled legally in a cafe. It's going to be settled in the court based on the facts and law.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn this in. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already.
Lots of will worship on display last night. The talking heads, the regime media, they know Trump, when he speaks, is going to lie. They didn't have a transcript or the notes of the speech ahead of time to where they could fact check things. They just know as a matter of fact that he lies, just like they know before he even gets his day in court. They know he's convicted. He's guilty. He's guilty of crimes, felonies, and he's going off to prison. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this fine Wednesday. Wednesday is show day for Celtic Throne. I'll come to that in just a second. CelticThrone.com if you want to purchase tickets for the showing tonight, the performance tonight at Virginia Beach. So anyway, the essentials, TrumpetDaily.com. You can get to the live stream of this show. You can go to our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily, and you can join our growing audience, our growing live audience, 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States, 12 noon. Some, as I just learned on a visit to the East Coast, some make it their lunch hour date at 12 noon over on the East Coast, 9 a.m., of course, out west. So Celtic Throne, as I say, Virginia Beach tonight. We don't have audio feedback from the other night, but we do have another email. This came in yesterday. It says, I had the great pleasure of seeing your performance in Richmond. I just wanted to reach out because you all should be so very proud of what you've accomplished. For what it's worth, I've been part of an Irish dance show and even made a feature film about Irish dance. Neither product to the level of engagement and production value as Celtic Throne. Again, high praise coming from the Irish dance community, it says, and I'm a little familiar with how hard it is to pull together all the necessary parts. It's beautiful that your families have come together in support of each other to make a bigger family. And all that passion really came out on stage. It says, between the skill, choreography, music, stage presence, and every other detail, I'm so thankful to have had the opportunity to see this. She says here, I've been feeling really stressed with life and my own dance experience lately, but Celtic Throne is giving me a boost of inspiration. Thank you so, so much. That's feedback coming from the Richmond show just the other night. Tonight, they're in Norfolk, Virginia. You can go to CelticThrone.com to get to all of the dates and locations for a show, an upcoming show near you. So the same people who will not cover, they will not discuss the bribery scheme, the Biden bribery scheme. They will not discuss the 20 LLCs that the Biden crime family set up to launder money while he was vice president. They won't talk about it. These same people, it's wall-to-wall coverage of Trump on the way to the arraignment. They bring in the helicopters. They got to follow his motorcade. They watch every movement of the plane, of the motorcade, of Trump himself, what he does, how he looks. He's dejected. And then these same people, as soon as Trump comes out and is ready to speak, that's it. Censored. You cannot talk. You cannot speak for yourself. How do you survive? How does a republic survive with a lopsided media such as this? The regime, they're all the press spokesperson for the White House. I mean, literally, in the case of the lady with the red hair, I mean, she goes right into MSNBC. But all the rest of them, Jake Tapper, every single one you saw in that opening montage, they're the White House press spokesperson. So Donald Trump doesn't get a voice. You would think, I mean, just stepping back and applying maybe 1 ounce of objectivity to it, if you've got the helicopters following the motorcade to the courthouse, then maybe people would be interested in hearing what the man has to say after the fact. But no, that's to be blotted out. Even the scenes at the restaurant, Jake Tapper, don't show any more of those scenes. I mean, there's quite a few people surrounding Trump, and he's turning this into a political rally. So we're not going to stand for it. And they take it so very serious. Rachel Maddow, this is something we carefully consider this, and we're not going to show him. Listen, let me just get to this first. This is from America Under Attack. I've got another montage of the wall-to-wall coverage. So on the one hand, they all agree Trump cannot be heard. And then on the other hand, they're all following the motorcade. They're following Trump's airplane. Well, go ahead and play the montage first, and I'll come to the AUA quote next. This is number 17.
CNN just getting new and exclusive video of the former president. He is at his resort in South Florida tonight. What is Trump doing on the eve of this court appearance?
He arrived here at his resort in Doral, Florida about 3:30 this afternoon or so. He went upstairs with his son and his team of lawyers, and we hadn't seen him until just about 7 o'clock, where I can show you this video that I just got of him in the lobby coming down the elevator to go to dinner. His son Eric had gone in there about a half an hour before.
So let's go to Shimon Prokopez, who is outside the courthouse in Miami, and give us the latest on the ground view of the security situation. Shimon, what are you seeing?
But at any point now, we should see him, Jake, drive by. We can hear the sirens as they are approaching here and about to make this turn here.
From our view, thousands of miles away, it looks like a relatively peaceful crowd.
Yeah, it is a relatively, it's been peaceful, Jake. You're right, absolutely right. It's a peaceful crowd.
Well, we just saw something
here
going on there.
Let's put the camera. Agents.
New pictures now of Donald Trump inside the car as he was being driven to the courthouse in Miami, waving to the camera. This is what exactly is going on inside that building. John?
So right now, the president would be going through the garage into the freight elevator. He will be going with his Secret Service detail.
Donald Trump leaving the Miami courthouse where he just...
What we are watching Trump do right now is cloak himself in the politics of it all, surround himself with his supporters.
I am at a Versailles Cuban restaurant in Little Havana, and there is such a crowd here. The motorcade has just arrived from federal court in Miami, and this was, of course, an unannounced visit.
Whatever this spectacle is that's unfolding before us, let's remember what this case is about. Let's remember what this indictment charges. And again, despite whatever may be going on in that restaurant, this case isn't going to be settled legally in a cafe. It's going to be settled in the court based on the facts and law.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already.
Breaking news. This is live pictures. Former President Trump is about to land in New Jersey. Well, not in the background. Here's a plane landing in Newark. Describe him. His plane is landing here. Describe him as slumped over, scowling, looking dejected at moments, for lack of a better word.
Oh, no, he's dejected? Slumped over? They followed every single move in the elevator, in the cloakroom, at dinner, in the motorcade, on the plane, in the underground garage. And then 2 seconds later, they say, no, blot him out. Don't let him speak. Nothing from the speech. Nothing even from the restaurant. It shows you how important it is for them to control the narrative. And then to be mocking people at a cafe in Little Havana as if, well, that's not the jury. Well, last time I checked, the jury's made up of people in that region. They could come from that cafe. You can see why, too, it's so important for them to get the court generally in D.C., New York, maybe San Francisco. This time it's in Miami. Trump goes to this popular cafe, and as the reporter honestly said, mistakenly probably, that there's crowds everywhere. And then Jake Tapper has to lecture the producers. Don't show any more of that footage. Don't even show the footage of Donald Trump, the same guy that was following every little move just 2 seconds earlier. As I say, how does a republic survive with this level of bias and corruption in the media, where they've clearly just become an extension of Barack Hussein Obama, his third term as president? This is from America Under Attack. The complicity among the political class, including Democrats, Republicans, the news media, and others, is far deeper than Americans realize. My father says the amount of power, money, influence, technology, and intimidation they wield is staggering. And this is why they're going so hard after Trump, because if they do let Trump speak, every single time he detonates a truth bomb on their precious narrative, it just explodes in their faces. We'll get to plenty of clips from Mr. Trump's speech, not only at the restaurant, but those were offhanded remarks there. But then he gave a speech last night in New Jersey, and it was just devastating what he presented. And they go on and on and say all that they have to say is that, well, why not Hillary or Joe Biden? No, there is a lot of facts that President Trump stuffed into that speech last night. He talked about the indictment. He talked about this attack. He talked about Jack Smith. Lots of newsworthy topics in that speech. But they don't want to play any of it because they don't want him to have a voice. They just want to stamp it out. They want to blot it out. And of course, the prophecy in 2 Kings chapter 14 says that they want to blot out even the name of Israel. Says here, the deep corruption involved here is now being exposed before our eyes. And my father refers to that passage, 2 Kings 14. But then he makes this point. Notice this. It says, and by the way, if you don't have a copy, the hardcover version of America Under Attack, just call our operators today. The number is 1-866-930-3024. But listen to this, this section from America Under Attack. It says, the late conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh knew Donald Trump. He said he asked him if he was guilty of the accusations that the Mueller investigation were using as a pretext. Mr. Trump said no. He asked if he was sure. He said he was absolutely innocent. Mr. Limbaugh then said, if you know it's false, then they know it too. That's a powerful point to make. If you know you're innocent, if you know you're not guilty of this crime, then they know it too. And they went after him. Nevertheless, they went after him. Try to get him on a process crime, try to catch him up on a lie or something. Just like they're doing now with the documents, the papers. They got him on some papers. He put a box over here, and then somehow it got back to the storage room, and that's illegal. That's illegal. says here, Mr. Limbaugh said Trump had trouble accepting how deep the corruption truly goes. Well, that was a few years ago, but I think he sees it now. He sees how deep the corruption goes. And it's being exposed. And this is why Jake Tapper doesn't want to give him a voice. He's part of the problem. He's part of the regime. It says here, that's the way things work in the swamp. Well, let me back up. It says they can protect lawless rioters and steal an election at the same time they block your free speech for saying that the election was stolen. That's the way things operate or work in the swamp. They have the power and control. How can you win against that? How can you win if they rig the election itself? How alarming that America has no leaders willing to stand up for the truth. Says here, everybody fears Barack Obama and they dislike Donald Trump, including most Republicans. It is bitter to see elected representatives in Congress allow some unelected, arrogant, satanic cabal to take over our country. There was one congresswoman bringing forth this effort to censure Adam Schiff for all the lies and to fine him. He was all through the Mueller investigation. He would go down to the skiff. He would see the confidential documents. He'd come up and run to Jake Tapper and company and say, I've seen it. I have seen evidence of crimes. He lied over and over and over again for years. And there's one woman in Congress in the House saying he needs to be fined and censured for that. They can't. You watch what happens. I think the vote's later this afternoon. There's just too many Republicans that cannot bring themselves to actually confront the evil. Even Adam Schiff. I mean, if you can't go after Adam Schiff, what is wrong with you? They're just weak. They lack courage. We'll see how the vote goes. How many Republicans do you suppose are going to cave in to the radical left? You think the radical left would do that with Republicans? They're trying to send Republicans to prison for 100 years on a papers charge. A charge over papers. Who was harmed? Where are all the dead bodies? Where's all the money that was being wired into Trump's account? If he's guilty of espionage, who is he spying for? No motives whatsoever in the indictment. We've got a lot to get to on today's show. I better keep some pace here. But if you think about Barack Hussein Obama, the Antiochus behind the scenes, I mean, this is playing out exactly the way he wants for it to play out. He wanted to fundamentally transform the United States, and that's happening. It's very nearly finished. Because like I said, you go into AUA and you see how many people are complicit in this attack on America, this attack on the United States. He's the man behind it all. That's why he stayed in Washington after his second term ended. America under attack. It says, a tyrant who thinks like the devil has gotten control of what is left of the glory and wealth of America. It's tyranny. It's can you imagine commentators? There's quite a few of them now saying that we're living in a dictatorship. This is the United States of America. And we've turned into Cuba or Venezuela. They're going right after their political opponents to put them in jail, just like they would in Soviet Russia, just like they would in the CCP. It says here, the devil has great power, and he has a burning goal to blot out what God has done and is doing. People who aren't close to God have no chance against Satan, and the vast majority of people are quite far from God. I mean, look at all of the LGBTQ celebrations, as I discussed yesterday on the show. Sin, top to bottom, sickness through and through, spreading like cancer. This is Donald Trump last night. Actually, it was at the restaurant. His first stop after he leaves from the arraignment is at this this landmark Cuban-American restaurant in Miami's Little Havana. Here's clip two.
I think it's going great.
Okay.
I think it's a rigged deal here. We have a rigged country. We have a country that's corrupt. We have a country that's got no borders. We have a country that's got nothing but problems. We're a nation in decline, and then they do this stuff. And you see where the people are. We love the people, and you see where they are. You see the crowds and everything else. We have a country that is in decline like never before, and we can't let it happen.
Cut away, cut away. No more footage of that. Says the fake media, the fake news. Cut away from Trump. Don't let him speak. Don't let our viewers see the crowds. Just establish the narrative. He's convicted. He's going to prison. First time in history. We couldn't be happier. This is the way they think. He then leaves the restaurant, gets back on his plane, and flies to New Jersey. This is how The Hill this morning reported on the speech. You know what the talking heads were saying before he even gave the speech. Lies are coming. Lies are coming. We can't broadcast any of this. And then The Hill this morning, his speech was laced with misleading or inaccurate claims about his case. They know everything about the case. He might as well not even file a brief in response to the indictment. Because it's just going to be laced. This is The Hill. They think it passes for objectivity, if you can believe it. It says here, arguing that the Presidential Records Act gives him total authority to possess government materials after leaving office. How could he argue that? I mean, so many misleading and inaccurate claims, says The Hill. Well, then you get into the speech. I think he went on for about 30 minutes. Here's a fair bit, clip three.
This day will go down in infamy, and Joe Biden will forever be remembered as not only the most corrupt president in the history of our country, but perhaps even more importantly, the president who, together with a band of his closest thugs, misfits, and Marxists, tried to destroy American democracy.
They're destroying the republic. That's maybe the comment that he made that got the most play on social media sites. That's how this is going to go down in history. Listen again to President Trump, clip four.
But you just don't. But the seal is now broken. I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the United States of America, Joe Biden, and the entire Biden crime family. Name a special prosecutor. And all others involved with the destruction of our elections, our borders, and our country itself. They're destroying our country. And when I'm reelected, and we will get reelected, we have no choice. We're not going to have a country anymore. I will totally obliterate the deep state. We will obliterate the deep state. And we know who they are. I know exactly who they are. They want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom. It's very simple.
He knows who they are this time around. He knows a fair bit more than he did when he interviewed with Rush Limbaugh several years ago, the late Rush Limbaugh. But notice he said there at the start, the seal is broken. When I return to power, I'm going to send prosecutors after you people. You deranged people. And then you watch the heads of these radical communists explode. This is from Richard Stengel. He's an Obama guy. He tweeted, "Nothing quite says banana republic like a presidential candidate saying he will go after his predecessor if elected." It just not 1 ounce of self-awareness in that comment. Here, his candidate is going after the presidential candidate. And he is freaking out that Donald Trump would dare say, when I get into office, you better watch out, you criminals. Harry Littman, he had a piece at the LA Times. He's another radical leftist. He's all over MSNBC. He's an attorney, a left-wing attorney. And he's really concerned that this judge, Judge Cannon, that if she stays on, I mean, we may not be able to get Trump. He says here, if canon does remain on the case, there are ways, both formal and informal, for the 11th Circuit Court to remove her from the case. Unless and until that happens, her presence poses concrete risks of warping the workings of the justice system when the country urgently needs it to be above reproach. He wrote this with a straight face, I suppose. We've got the 11th Circuit. I mean, they've got to try to find a way to get her out. She was appointed by Trump. We need an Obama judge in there. I'll tell you a little bit about an Obama judge here in just a second. It'll be a shocking eye-opener. But get her out so that we can put Trump behind bars. This is the way these demons think. I mean, Satan and the demons are, it's a heyday for them. It's a big party. They want total control of these precious narratives, these lies. Satan, John 8, verse 44, says Satan is the father of lies. It's all that he does. And he's cast down to this earth, Revelation 12 says. He's confined to this earth along with his demons. And you see their fingerprints on everything. Listen again to Donald Trump from last night, clip 5.
It's also no coincidence that these charges against me came down the very same day. Evidence revealed Joe Biden took a $5 million bribe from Ukraine. Took a $5 million bribe. But the FBI and the Justice Department don't even want to talk about it.
Yesterday, we talked about Obama's masterful misdirect. What a head fake. As Trump points out, the same day we learned about the bribery scheme, the fact that Joe Biden was paid off $5 million by a Ukrainian oligarch working for Burisma, the company that hired his son. That comes down last Thursday, and wouldn't you know it, out comes the indictment. Get the focus on the motorcade, the underground garage, the elevator, where Trump's going for dinner, when his plane takes off. Get the focus on the fact that he's going behind bars. A sitting president of the United States, a fake one at that, guilty of bribery, of being bribed into changing U.S. policy or pressuring a Ukrainian prosecutor to be fired. That's what happened. And so much of it's right on tape, or it's right in the FBI. All the evidence, it's right there. It's on Hunter's laptop. It's on Tony Bobulinski's devices. You can make all the connections. And the authorities, the government, they've possessed all of those devices, all of that information for years and years and years. But they're going to get Trump on some papers that he took with him upon leaving office. Listen again to President Trump last night, number 6.
Bill Clinton lost the nuclear codes and absolutely nothing was done about it. He lost the nuclear codes. The George W. Bush White House lost 22 million emails, a record. NARA cannot assure complete transfer of any of the Bush records. A document shredding truck was spotted on the way to Dick Cheney's house. Can you imagine? Hillary Clinton took hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of furniture, china, flatware, rugs, and more from the White House. And she wasn't prosecuted. How about that one? She took the furniture and the china. How about if Trump did that? You think Trump would have a little problem? The horrific violations of my rights by crooked Joe Biden's weaponized Department of Injustice are unthinkable. It's unthinkable.
Like I said earlier, you listen to the entirety of the speech, and it's full of quite a lot of detail. These things happened. Trump has his speechwriters working on the detail of these others that were never prosecuted for anything. Helping themselves to the china as they left the White House. And then you look in the indictment, as I say, and you find no motive Okay, so he moved some boxes. Who does that hurt? He's guilty of espionage. Well, who is he working for? Play clip seven.
It's Joe Biden and his corrupt Department of Injustice who think they are above the law. Never before have the two standards of justice in our country been more starkly revealed. Joe Biden had troves of classified documents from his time as vice president and even as a senator, which was completely and totally illegal. Biden sent 1,850 boxes to the University of Delaware, making the search very, very difficult for anybody. And he refuses to give them up, and he refuses to let people even look at them. And then they say, oh, he's behaving so nicely. Many of Biden's classified documents were in Chinatown, D.C., Chinatown, which is shocking considering his family received so much money from China. Unlike me, who had absolute declassification authority as president, Joe Biden as vice president had no authority to declassify and no right to possess the documents. He had no right. Most and famously of all, Hillary Clinton set up an illegal private server in her basement with the deliberate intention of violating public information laws so she could hide her pay-for-play scandals at the Clinton Foundations or whatever. Hillary stored vast quantities of classified and sensitive information on her illicit server. Some of it happened to leak. It leaked into Anthony Weiner's computer. Remember Anthony Weiner? Into his computer. You don't want to be on his computer. And all of it was illegal.
It's funny because it's all true. These are the facts. Tom Elliott reminded us of the established facts with respect to Hillary Clinton. First, he said, installed a server to sidestep record-keeping laws, to get around those laws, illegally retained thousands of classified materials, removed classified markings, people without security clearance managed her server. Server security was so bad it predictably got hacked, as President Trump just noted there. It got hacked. Destroyed 33,000 subpoenaed emails, physically destroyed phones and servers. Obama, DOJ, and FBI colluded per Lisa Page to give her a get-out-of-jail-free card. And then finally it says the FBI agreed to destroy her aides' laptops with incriminating evidence. The FBI, for its part, got in there to try to help her out there at the last. Just destroy all the evidence, get rid of it, and we won't hold her responsible or any of the attorneys that helped her destroy the information or the devices. Listen to her reaction to Trump's arraignment. This is clip 15.
If you watched any of the news programs this weekend, I mean, their efforts to defend this man are truly beyond anything that I ever thought possible in our country.
Their efforts to defend Donald Trump? Is she serious? It's just like the tweet I gave to you a moment ago, or the Lippman column in the Los Angeles Times. We've got to destroy these people. Get rid of that judge and everyone who would say anything positive about Trump. And in her mind, it was happening all weekend, I guess. All the news shows are defending Trump? Seriously? I mean, that's laughable on its face. And then to think about what she got away with. There's no shame. They just come right in front of the cameras and start waxing eloquent. That's right. Everything wrong with this country, it all goes back to the bad orange man. Switching back to his New Jersey speech, notice clip 8.
After leaving the White House, Bill Clinton kept 79 audio tapes in his sock drawer. They included discussions of U.S. military involvement in Haiti, discussions of U.S. foreign policy, both defense and offense, against Cuba. Recordings of President Clinton's conversations with all of the many foreign leaders at the time. Think of that. Sensitive facts about trade negotiations taken from presidential briefings. Discussions with the Secretary of State about conflict in Bosnia and much, much more. Very big stuff. Not only was Bill Clinton never even considered for criminal prosecution based on the tapes he took, but when he was sued for them, he won the case.
Are these the lies that Jake Tapper is concerned about? Everything he said right there, everything he said is the truth. Bill Clinton had these recordings. It went right through his two terms in office, spanning 8 years, 79 of them. And he hid them in his sock drawer so that when he left the White House, he could just take his things and move out. And then Judicial Watch tried to sue him for the information, saying it should be over at, you know, the records-keeping agency. And they lost in court. And the judge that ruled in favor of Clinton, she said he had the right to take the information under the Presidential Records Act. He had the right. The judge that allowed it, the judge that ruled it, appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. All these facts, President Trump laid it out for you in his speech last night. There's even more detail in a Wall Street Journal opinion piece. This is by Michael Bekesha. He was the one that actually tried to go after the records. These belong to the government, he insisted. It says here, although the indictment against Donald Trump doesn't cite the Presidential Records Act, the charges are predicated on the law. The indictment came about only because the government thought Mr. Trump took records that didn't belong to him, and the government raided his house to find any such records. Okay, these things happened. This is more recent history. It says here, this should never have happened, speaking of the raid on Mar-a-Lago. The Presidential Records Act allows the president to decide what records to return and what records to keep at the end of his presidency. And the National Archives and Records Administration can't do anything about it. I know, he writes, because I'm the lawyer who lost the Clinton sock drawer case. I know how the DOJ, what side they were on. Back in 2009, they're on the side of Clinton. Now you see how hard they're working against Donald Trump, another former president, with the same authority, the same power that Clinton had to help himself to those 79 tapes. Lots of confidential or secret information on those tapes, by the way. And he just helped himself, and the courts ruled in his favor. He has the right. Under the PRA, it says in 2009, historian Taylor Branch published The Clinton Tapes, Wrestling History with the President. The book is based on recordings of Mr. Branch's 79 meetings with Bill Clinton between January 20th, 1993 to January 20th, 2001, the entire presidency. According to Mr. Branch, the audio tapes preserved not only Mr. Clinton's thoughts on issues he faced while president, but also some actual events such as phone conversations. I mean, in other words, classified information. And then it gives a lot of detail to that end, content on those tapes. Again, President Trump brought out some of that detail last night. You would think Jake Tapper would be interested in comparing. If the case against Trump is ironclad, you can see why they don't want this little bit of history to be brought to your attention. This Bekesha writes, the White House made the audio tapes. Nancy Heinrich, then director of the Oval Office operations, set up the meetings between Clinton and Branch and was involved in the logistics of the recordings. Did that make them presidential records? The National Archives and Records Administration was never given the recordings. As Mr. Branch tells it, Mr. Clinton hid them in his sock drawer to keep them away from the public and took them with him when he left office. My organization, this author writes, Judicial Watch, sent a Freedom of Information Act request to NARA for the audio tapes. The agency responded that the tapes were Mr. Clinton's personal records and therefore not subject to the Presidential Records Act or the Freedom of Information Act. Those are, Clinton decided they're mine. NARA didn't even have them. It says here, we sued in federal court and asked the judge to declare the audio tapes to be presidential records. and because they weren't currently in NARA's possession, compel the government to get them. Now listen to this. I know it's quite a lot of reading, but this article exposes what Barack Hussein Obama has done to the Justice Department, the Department of Injustice, and it's happened in just a matter of 10 or 12 years. It says, in defending NARA, the Justice Department argued that NARA doesn't have a duty to engage in a never-ending search for potential presidential records that weren't provided to NARA by the president at the end of his term. So back then, in a very similar scenario, back then you see the DOJ, NARA has a different position than they've taken with Trump now. The DOJ had a much different position than they're taking against Trump now. They're basically arguing for Clinton. No, they're his. You don't, Judicial Watch, you don't have the right to those records during Bill Clinton's presidency because he wanted the tapes. And he made that decision as he left. It says here, nor the department asserted does the Presidential Records Act require NARA to appropriate potential presidential records forcibly. The government's position was that Congress had decided that the president and the president alone decides what is presidential record and what isn't. He may take with him whatever records he chooses at the end of his term. That's what they decided. That's what an Obama judge decided. You see how differently they apply the law when it comes to the bad orange man. It says here, Judge Amy Berman Jackson agreed. Now, she's the one that's appointed by Obama. Since the president is completely entrusted with the management and even the disposal of presidential records during his time in office, she held, this is a direct quote from an Obama judge, it would be difficult for this court to conclude that Congress intended that he would have less authority to do what he pleases with what he considers to be his personal records. The president is the executive branch, and Congress extended that authority to presidents. If he wants to take the, as you heard earlier this week, last time we checked, Barack Obama had something like 3 million documents that he helped himself to. They all do it. But here there's an Obama judge. These are events that were happening in 2009, 10, 11, 12. Not that long ago, just a little over a decade ago. It says here, Judge Jackson added that the PRA contains no provision obligating or even permitting the archivist to assume control over the records that the president categorized and filed separately as personal records. They're quoting from this judge's opinion, this judge appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. It says, I lost. This is the guy who tried to get those records. He says, I lost because Judge Jackson concluded the government's hands were tied. Mr. Clinton took the tapes and no one could do anything about it. The same is true with Mr. Trump. Although he didn't keep records in his sock drawer, he gathered newspapers, press clippings, letters, notes, cards, photographs, documents, and other materials in cardboard boxes. Then Mr. Trump, like Mr. Clinton, took those boxes with him when he left office. As of noon on January 20th, 2021, whatever remained in the White House was presidential records. Whatever was taken by Mr. Trump wasn't. That was the position of the Justice Department in 2010 and the ruling by Judge Jackson in 2012. As I say, just a little over 10 years ago. It exposes the two-tiered standard of justice, injustice, doesn't it? It exposes the DOJ. It exposes what Barack Obama did to the DOJ, the FBI. Says here, a decade later, the government should never have gone searching for potential presidential records, nor should it have forcibly taken records from Mr. Trump. The government should lose United States versus Trump. If the courts decide otherwise, then I want those Clinton tapes. This is a guy at Judicial Watch. He went after the Clinton tapes in 2009, but he couldn't get them. And he says if the courts decide otherwise in this Trump versus America case or U.S. case, then it obviously contradicts, blatantly contradicts, what happened just a few years ago. Here's President Trump last night, speaking of this indictment, this attack from the DOJ and the attack dog, Jack Smith. This is what Donald Trump had to say about this chief prosecutor last night, clip 9.
It's no wonder this raging lunatic was shipped off to The Hague to prosecute war criminals using globalist tribunals, not beholden to the Constitution or the rule of law. Two things Jack Smith clearly disdains. You take a look at this guy. He looks like a thug. But then I watched him make a speech the other day, and he was trembling because it wasn't his territory. He feels much safer in the inner sanctums of the Department of Injustice, where he can be in his room and scream at people. He's a raging and uncontrolled Trump hater, as is his wife, who also happened to be the producer of that Michelle Obama puff piece.
Well, now Jake Tapper's not going to like that little bit of information. That was revealed by the National Pulse the other day. President Trump picks up on it. Again, drops a truth bomb right in the middle of the narrative and exposes these corrupt actors for who they are. This Jack Smith, in 2014, he went after, maybe the Virginia governor. Bob McDonnell was his name. And he managed to get a grand jury to convict McDonnell and was even sentenced, a political enemy, and was even sentenced to prison. And then 2 years later, the case was overturned by the Supreme Court 8-0. How many times? This is 2014. How many times does the Supreme Court rule unanimously? It was so egregious that even the left-wingers on the court agreed. I won't get into all the details of the case. Here's another instance, though, from Just the News. It says a Justice Department prosecutor who helped secure last week's indictment of former President Donald Trump was publicly reprimanded by a judge in 2009 for gross negligence in connection with secretly taping a defense lawyer and an investigator. An agency source has confirmed to Just the News. The prosecutor, Kieran Gilbert, is now serving as the deputy to special counsel Jack Smith. They're all corrupt. They're all communists. And then even in this case, to try to get Trump's attorneys to flip and to reveal attorney-client privilege content. Greta Van Susteren, she tweeted out with respect to that. And, of course, hopefully Trump's attorneys are going to make an issue of this before the judge. The judge that the radicals want removed because she was appointed by Trump. Got to fix, we've got to rig the system. This is how they win. Van Susteren says, as a journalist, I would go to jail before giving up a source. As a lawyer, I would go to jail before giving up notes from conversations with my client. Where did Trump get that lawyer who turned on him? And why are more lawyers not scandalized by a lawyer doing that to a client? What about Littman? He's a lawyer. He wrote the column for the LA Times saying that we've got to get rid of this judge. Is he not upset by the fact that this lawyer flipped and was revealing attorney-client privilege to Jack Smith and his thugs? Why, as she says, why aren't more lawyers not scandalized by a lawyer doing that to a client? So much lawlessness and corruption. It's all over the place. It's, again, America under attack. 1-866-930-3024. Listen again to one final clip from New Jersey, Trump's speech in New Jersey last night, clip 10.
And I am the only one that can save this nation because you know they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, and I just happen to be standing in their way, and I will never be moving. On November 5th, 2024, justice will be done. We will take back our country and we will make America great again.
That's Donald Trump from his New Jersey speech following his much publicized arraignment yesterday. But the speech, not so much. The speech, that got blotted out. You can't let him defend himself. You can't let him speak for himself. If the talking heads have it their way, the regime media, you just accept the narrative that they establish, and nothing else is to be considered. Listen to this bit of truth from Tucker Carlson last night. He posted another video, I think one that went on for 13 minutes. You guys can skip ahead to number 13.
The prosecution of Donald Trump is transparently political. He's literally Joe Biden's main political opponent. He's polling over 60% among Republican voters right now. So Joe Biden is doing what no president has ever dared to do. He's using law enforcement to lock up his chief rival. That's happening right now. Anyone who denies it's happening is lying to you. But actually, it's worse than that. Trump's prosecution isn't just political, it's ideological. Nobody with Trump's views is allowed to have power in this country. Criticize our wars and you're disqualified. If you keep it up, we'll send you to prison. That's the message Washington is sending. Not just the Democratic Party is sending, but both parties are sending.
The prosecution of Trump, transparently political, Tucker said there at the start, and then went through some of the latest numbers. This is from at the morning consult, a poll of GOP primary voters. Trump at 59%, DeSantis at 19%. That's a 5% boost in the same poll over last week, before the indictment. So the indictment happens. The media follow every inch of it to the courthouse, out of the courthouse. And his popularity just continues to rise. The morning consult poll also has Trump and Biden tied at the moment. Whereas if it's Biden versus DeSantis, it has Biden winning. Pretty revealing polls. Listen to one last comment from Tucker last night, clip 14.
Yes, Donald Trump is a flawed man, but his sins are minor compared to those of his persecutors. In this life, we don't get to choose our martyrs. We can only choose our principles, and America's are at stake.
Donald Trump's sins are minor comparatively, and that Wall Street Journal article brings it out. So many other pieces that we've referred to over the past many months have exposed this as well. And of course, so much of the content that we've discussed on this show, it's contained in this book, America Under Attack. It is under attack, and Donald Trump certainly does see that now. He sees it now more clearly than ever before. He sees the lies. He exposes the lies. And that one clip I played for you where he says, when I get back, we're going to destroy the deep state. I mean, this is a man of courage. This is a man who will not back away from a fight, quite unlike so many others, even in the Republican Party, as I've noted on this show so many times. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, we'd love to hear from you. The email address is td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening or viewing. You are viewing. Maybe I should just start saying that. You are viewing The Trumpet Daily. This is Stephen Fleury. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.